Amen. James chapter 2. We opened the service this morning in Revelation 19, where Jesus is pictured returning to the earth, and he is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is what he is. But the issue is he my king and is he my Lord? He is king. Is he my king? Is he my Lord? And when I really like the idea that even the title of king, because I think of it as before we come to the Lord, basically we're king. Really, someone else is king, but we may think we are. But that time comes when God's Spirit draws us and his goodness leads us to repentance, and we turn from self-rule our way to embrace Jesus as king his way, we can receive all the blessings that he purchased for us through his death and resurrection. And those blessings include the forgiveness of all of our sins. Just think about that one moment. Just one moment. All. I mean, those ones that you don't want anyone else to know about. Those that still, they can kind of haunt your mind. Those that others may want to bring. You remember, those all. Forgiveness of all sins. And granted the very righteousness of God. That's what he did for us through his death and resurrection. And we can receive those blessings. We can receive the blessings of grace that we never deserve or earn. It's not something we could even strive for. He freely gives and we freely receive. We can receive the blessing of a peace that goes beyond human comprehension. We can receive the blessing of just knowing that he is with us every moment of every day, and we'll never walk through the darkest valley alone, but we can face even the very shadow of death with him, knowing I will not fear, for you are with me. And the one who has begun a good work in me will complete it. We can receive the blessing and benefits of victory, brothers and sisters. Victory has been purchased for us. The victory was already won at the cross. Yes, we have to battle. We have to live it out. But the basis for our victory is not our struggle. It's his victory. It's our surrender and by faith receiving what Jesus purchased for us. And then as recipients of the King's grace, he calls us to live by his decrees, to live by his standards, what Scripture here in James 2 calls the royal law. James chapter 2 and verse 8 says this, James 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by that very same law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. The Lord calls us to live by the royal law. That's the message this morning. I hope that we will just receive it as the word for us today. Live by the royal law. Live by the royal law. James chapter 2, again, that verse 8, there are two references right here in this chapter where I believe we can apply this truth to our lives today. Live by the royal law. Would you say that with me? Live by the royal law. One of the reasons I like to ask you to maybe confess something is not to just try to, whatever. There's a method to the madness, so to speak, all right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we can hear all kind of voices. I believe it's important for us to put our voice with God's voice and to confess His truth and His will. And so when we confess God's Word, it's like planting and watering that seed in our heart and spirit so that in time it can bear fruit to the glory of God. Again, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the first truth, I believe, that we can apply out of that Scripture to live by the royal law, and it's this, to love your neighbor as yourself. Very, very clear right here in the Word of God. To love, I like how it's worded in one translation. Sometimes, you know, I'm studying, I'll read through various translations. I'll go back and try to, I'm no scholar. I look up the original language and with the aid, I have a concordance. But to try to bring out that meaning, and this one translation really brought it out to me. It said, love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. I really like that translation because I like the idea of valuing someone. I like the idea. In fact, I thought about how the royal law reminds me of the golden rule. They go together in my mind. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Let me ask you a question. How many, or have you ever been, I don't need to ask how many, have you ever been like shunned or overlooked? Maybe have you ever been treated as inferior, or if I say less than, you understand what I'm saying? Have any of you ever had that experience? In fact, let me just ask, have any of you ever had that? Would you raise your hands just for a moment, please? Look at that. Wow, okay, thank you for your honesty. Many of us, maybe all, I couldn't tell. How did you feel? Hurt? Angry? Restless? I don't know. Betrayed? Wow. Jesus went through that, didn't he? He can relate to what we've experienced if we've done so. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, let's back up just a little bit in the letter here. He says in verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. The word there has the idea of favoritism. And he says in verse 2, for if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. You pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, oh, you sit here in a good place. Say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit here at my footstool. That means, hey, just have a seat on the floor. Verse 4, have you not shown partiality, favoritism among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? I began to think, okay, now the context here is rich and poor, but how do we value, maybe how do we treat others in a way that we're not to? In other words, remember Peter on one occasion, we read about it in Galatians chapter 2, he was a godly man, but he was a Jewish man, and his upbringing taught him that basically he didn't have a lot of interaction with people who were non-Jews, with Gentiles. And he even said one time, he actually, when the time came that God called him to go to a man to share the gospel with him, that he, when he went into this man's home, a Gentile's home, he said, you know how unlawful it is for me to be into a Gentile's house. It wasn't against God's law, but against man's traditions that had been added in there. And God showed him, he said, don't call any man common or unclean. So our value comes from God, doesn't it? We're created in his image. And so he wants us to love and value people regardless of how much money they have, regardless of their ethnicity, skin color, their education, their social status, their language, their culture. Our value comes from God. And when we love and value others, it honors him. And so even coming into an assembly, I was thinking about this for some reason that came to my mind of being back in school. And some of you may remember, you know, did y'all have like the cool kids? And some of y'all had the cool kids. And then some, you know, it was like you couldn't sit at one table. You wanted to sit over here at this table or something like that just to try to impress somebody or fit in. I guess we never outgrow that, do we? In fact, kids may get it better than we do. It seems like once we get up around that stage, we don't want to be ridiculed or somebody make fun of. I don't want to be associated with them because, you know, they wear those clothes. They didn't wear the fine clothes. They don't make the grades or whatever it may be. But That's not like Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? And that he welcomes us all to come to him, to live by the royal law. Thank God he didn't shun me and treat me as inferior, and he welcomed me to come. Thank God that Jesus brings me to the house of the Father. And if Jesus gets you in, you're in. If Brittany brings one of her friends in, I don't make them stand at the door. I don't ask, hey, what ethnicity is he? How much money do her parents make? Where are they from? I don't care. If Brittany brings them, they're in. When Jesus brings us, we're in. So he says to live by the royal law. And again, as I was thinking about this, I was just trying to just picture it. Lord, help me to be aware of any time that I would dare. And it doesn't matter whether it's someone who's homeless, someone who's addicted. In fact, I was just reading a testimony yesterday. I get this letter from one of the ministries we support in Richmond called New Life. In fact, if you go on our website, clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org, you can see all the ministries we support and the pastors there. But there was a young lady named Raina, and how she had gotten into drugs and so forth. She struggled with mental illness when she was 13 years old. And then by the time she was 23, she had suffered a childhood trauma. It says she attempted suicide for the first time at age 23, and she refused to take medication or seek therapy. She worked and tried to push herself, but by the mid-30s, she had been in several mental institutions, diagnosed with chronic major depression, bipolar disorder, schizoaffective disorder, I don't even think I've heard of that one before, anxiety disorder, and PTSD. And despite all of her best efforts, that's where she was. She actually remembers one night screaming out loud in her bedroom, "Mommy, make it stop!" And God opened the door for her to be involved in this ministry, and how God healed her and restored her and has blessed her back and set her free and given her a brand new start. That's the God we serve. And thank God for ministries who live by the royal law to say, yes, you may have messed up, but you're not a mess up. And who give people a chance and love and value. She is just as loved and valued as anyone else, regardless of what she may have been through, just because she is a fellow human being created in the image of God. Live by the royal law. And then the second aspect of this truth in verse 12. James chapter 2 and verse 12. So the first application is to love others as we love ourselves. And then verse 12 says this, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Here's the second application of that truth, to live by the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, and then realize that we will give account to God of all we say and do. God will judge all we say and do by his word. Again, notice it, speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Thank God that he has given us his word and he's given us his truth. And the word of God, I love that phrase, it's the law of liberty. It's not a law of condemnation, at least this new covenant that we have. It's not a law of just to shun and to shame or anything. It's the law of liberty. It sets us free. It empowers us. And I was reading the scripture here, and I've been reading a little bit in Isaiah. And Jesus said in the last days that lawlessness would abound. And even the apostles wrote about it in the New Testament. Ultimately, there is a law that we will give an account for. And there is a lawgiver. And lawlessness is ultimately against the authority and word of God. So we want to embrace his authority and live by his law. It's the higher law. It's the law of love. It's the law of liberty. It's the royal law. God calls us to take a higher path. And the scripture says this in Isaiah 59, if you just want to write the reference down, because I want to show you something else here in James. Isaiah chapter 59, and he wrote this 2,700 years ago. And verses 14 and 15, as I was reading this in the New Living Translation, it kind of reminded me of even just our day. And it says in verse Isaiah 59, 14, our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find that there was no justice. It's a sad commentary, but if we reject the authority and word of God, this is kind of the bad fruit that comes along of just, it's ultimately confusion and chaos. It's a word called Babel. And that's why in the end of the scripture, we read that there is basically a city that represents a world system that's in rebellion to God. And it goes by the name Babylon, because that was a place where God confused the languages and the people were divided when they were going to join together against God. It was going to be like they were going to be the sole voice. They were going to be, it's the self-rule again. It's I'm going to be my own God and my own king, and I get to run my life as I desire. Live by the royal law. Would you say that with me? Live by the royal law. And I've just come to the place in my own life, and I'll say I'll only do it by God's grace. But by God's grace and with God's help, I want to stand for God and His Word. I want to be true to Him. And if a time comes that laws are passed, even here in our land, where it will cost me personally, I want to be true. Again, by God's grace, I want to side with Jesus. I want to side with His Word and His will. And I really want to bow my knee to Him as King. Now, there is a place for civil government. And we're told in Scripture, in fact, a couple references, I don't have them for you. I'll just give them to you off the top of my head. Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. God ordained government, and there it has a place. And we're to submit to the government. But if the time comes where government tries to supersede the authority of God and keep us from doing His will, then we say, I'm not rebellious in my heart. I honor our government, I honor our leaders, but my higher allegiance is to God. And I'm willing to obey God rather than obey man. And we see that pattern. I didn't come up with this. We see the pattern in Scripture from the children of Israel who refused to murder their sons on Pharaoh's decree, their newborns. We saw it in the book of Acts when they told the apostles and the elders, they said, don't you preach anymore in Jesus' name. And they said, we've got to obey God rather than man. They were arrested, they were beaten. But in fact, the two men who wrote those references I just gave you, Romans, his name was Paul, and of course Peter wrote the letter bearing his name, they both were executed at the hands of that government. But they still said, under the inspiration of God, our heart has to be in the right place. If our heart is right, we're not just being rebellious, but we're in a submission to God, then I believe God will give us grace in those moments to do what's right. But I want to, that's still living by the royal law. It's loving and valuing others as myself, but it's also recognizing I've got a higher judge. I've got a face. I've got a higher law. I appreciate and I'll respect and live by your laws, but if they ever compete with one another, one day I got to give an account to God of all I say and do. And again, may God help me to stand for what is, I'll even say this, stand for justice, to stand for justice in all areas. And I appreciate our police officers and I support them, but I want to stand for justice if a police officer abuses the authority of that position. In fact, some of you, many of you may not know this, but I was going to be a police officer here in Hopewell. I had applied years ago. I think it was before Brittany was born. Is that right, Kim? So however, maybe closer to 30 years ago, and they were at the point, I went through the whole process, FBI, background screen, they checked on my neighbors and all of that. I remember going into the office over here, in the old office, and a detective interviewed me. So when I sat down, he gave me a piece of paper, and he said, write why, he said, you want to be a police officer, you love doing paperwork, write down why the duties of an officer. So I just put to serve and protect. Turned around and gave it to him. He said, can you elaborate a little more? You want to be a police officer. That means you like to write. And at the time, the city, you had a contract. You would get in like for 3 years or whatever it was. You'd have to pay if you backed out. And the city had they may still have it, I don't know, a requirement on your eyes that unrestricted, that means without contact or glasses, they had to be a certain, within a certain range. And so the detective took my glasses and went, they don't look too bad. Handed them back to me, and we went through the whole process. They were ready to hire me. And when they said, now we need your prescription, I called my doctor, and I wasn't even close. They said, we can't hire you. You don't meet the qualifications. Now I see it as God's hand. But I remember on that interview, he told me, he said, if you are the first one on the scene, maybe here at a jewelry store, and there's been a break-in, how do we know you're not going to pocket some of those jewels and just report it as missing in your report? And he told me years ago, he said, if you do that, we're going to come down harder on you than anyone else because you make us all look bad. And that's what happens. It affects, their job isn't easy to begin with, but it makes it harder for them all. But when an officer abuses that authority, I want to be consistent and say that's not right. But I also want to be consistent and say it's not right to attack the police officer either. That we live by a higher law, that we love and value people, that we recognize that we will give account of ourselves to God. And I want to stand by God's grace for what is right. I want to stand by God's grace for the sanctity of life. I want to stand by God's grace for what I call scriptural marriage. Some may call it traditional. That's fine. But to me, it's more than tradition. It's God's word. And I want to stand for what is right. And whatever that may mean, as far as me reaping the repercussions, may God give me grace to handle it and just to still do what's right. To walk in love, if people mistreat me, shun me, I'm not to mistreat them, to live by the royal law. Isaiah went on and he says this in that same chapter. Let me read you one more verse. Isaiah 59:21, because he went on to say how he said the Lord was pleased that there was no man, there was no intercessor, there was no one to come in and save the day, so to speak. So the Bible says the Lord stepped in to save the day. And he promised that he himself would send a redeemer who would come in and he would pay the price for our sins and he would pay the price to set us free and redeem us, restore us to God, and give us his Holy Spirit. Isaiah 59:21 says this, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I've given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen. We have a new covenant, brothers and sisters. And we are brought into that agreement. And if we know the Lord, we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. James chapter 2. Let me read that verse one more time. Verse 12. James 2:12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Live by the royal law. Brothers and sisters, the royal law of Jesus is liberating. It's a law of liberty. Here's what it sets us free to do, not to do our own will, not to be our own God, run the show. The law of liberty liberates us to love and serve God. The law of liberty liberates and empowers us to do God's will, to overcome evil with good. We can do right because God's Spirit is within us, and by His grace, He empowers us to do what's right. It's not my own fleshly struggle. I've really come to the place, if the Lord helped me to remember, that it's less about my struggle and more about my surrender. It's less about me. I just got to try to do better. Maybe I just need to trust more for grace to do God's will. It's not about me. It's about Him. Live by the royal law. Let me read you a few words of Jesus in John 8, and I'll close with James chapter 3. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, beginning in verse 31. In fact, before I read that, something just came to my heart. I want to just say, maybe if someone's streaming or listening, and to all of you here, to live by the royal law, when James said that in James chapter 2, those opening verses, it was in the context of the assembly of God's people. And I want to say, I don't care what your skin color is, what side of the tracks you came from, if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, if you've struggled with this or that, I want to say you are welcome here. This isn't my house, it's God's house. May the Lord help us to live by the royal law. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know." That word is not intellectual like 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's personal recognition based on experience. It's like, I know my wife. Not just know about her, I know her. You shall know personally. You shall experience, he says in that verse 32, the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, the law of liberty is truth from the one who is true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of God's word is empowering, it's liberating, it's freeing. And then he says in verse 36, just so that we know that he and his word are in perfect harmony, verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I close with verse 13 and 8 through 18. It's a contrast of God's way with the world's way. Live by the royal law. Would you say that with me? Live by the royal law. Verse 13 of James 3. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." He's going to contrast heavenly and earthly wisdom here. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly. Sensual means it's like fleshly or unspiritual, and it's even demonic." You know, there is a demonic wisdom. Here's what it produces. Verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." But then in contrast, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable," peace-loving. "It's gentle, willing to yield." One translation says open to reason. "It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality." That's where we started again. Without that favoritism, without kind of, well, I esteem this group of people over this one. No, we are all created in God's image. And if I know we may have friends we're closer to than others, that's not what this is prohibiting. What it's prohibiting is, I'm going to value this group of people over this group because I think this one is inferior. No, we live by the royal law. We all are in need of God's grace. We've all been created in the image of God. In verse 18, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What a privilege it is that we can know the one who loved us and gave himself for us. The one who suffered and died on the cross, bearing the judgment for our sins. What a blessing it is to walk in daily fellowship with this one who is our King. Can I close with this? Just between you and God now, do you know him personally? Not do you come to church, not do you know some Bible verses, not do you say a prayer. Do you know Jesus personally? Is he your King? And if he is, will you ask, I want to say two things. Will you ask him to help you live by the royal law? Because we can't do this without him. Just think a moment, please. Can you think of an instant? Please don't say anything. You don't need to raise your hand. But can you think of a moment when the Holy Spirit, it would be good for him to remind you of this truth? When you're maybe around someone, you see something, you watch something on TV or the news, can you think of an instance where it would be good to be reminded, live by the royal law? So I want to ask you then, will you ask God to help you? But I also want to ask, will you ask in faith and believe him for the grace to live by the royal law? Because he can do it. Live by the royal law. Love and value others as you love and value yourself. And just remember that one day we will give account to God of all we say and do according to his word. Can we stand together?